Westminster Abbey was founded by a king known as Edward the Confessor. So it was a royal church from the very beginning. And if you walk in, it's that pageant of English history that strikes you with its wealth of monuments and artwork. It's steeped in more than 1,000 years of history. So the beginnings of Westminster Abbey were Catholic, weren't they?
Well, yes, if you go back to the 11th century, that was before the divisions of the Reformation. So, yes, very much in communion with Rome. And the Abbey Church was dedicated to St. Peter, and it's a sign, if you like, of the particular connection, certainly at that time, between the church in London and the church of Rome, that the cathedral was St. Paul's and the Abbey Church in Westminster was dedicated to St. Peter. So you had St. Peter and St. Paul, two great founding saints of Rome.
And there's still a Catholic abbot today.
Well, there is a connection in as much as one of the very last monks to have been a monk of Westminster before the abbey was finally suppressed in the 16th century went into exile and as a very old man was part of the community that eventually became Ampleforth Abbey. So, yes, there is that historical connection between Ampleforth and Westminster, but it goes through, obviously, the exile and very difficult times.
Ampleforth is a Benedictine abbey, so the Benedictine legacy lives on in Westminster Abbey in a way, no?
Yes, in fact, a great many of the medieval English cathedrals were monastic foundations. Canterbury was a monastic foundation and Durham, and you can see the cloister where the monks lived and the liturgy, the beautiful liturgy that is so characteristic of English cathedrals goes back to the days when so many of them were monastic foundations. And certainly Westminster Abbey was a Benedictine monastic foundation, and that gave it its particular tradition, the particular flavour of the solemn and formal liturgy.
So it's felt in daily prayer and in hospitality, of course, because the Benedictines have this charism of hospitality, don't they?
They do, yes, yes, that's right.
You've been to Westminster Abbey like I have possibly many times. Is there something you'd particularly like to talk about?
Well, I suppose most of my visits to the Abbey took place during the 6 years when I was working just down the road at Westminster Cathedral, and they were a very obvious ecumenical partner for us on the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, for example, and also on the Feast of St. Edward, because you mentioned the king who founded the Abbey. His shrine is actually there in Westminster Abbey, so we venerate that as the shrine of one of our national saints. And the Feast of St. Edward was an occasion when the clergy of the Abbey, the Dean and Chapter, used to invite us from Westminster Cathedral to go and celebrate an ecumenical evening prayer with them, and we would venerate the shrine of St. Edward in the course of that evening. So there are many such ecumenical events that I recall being involved with, and some musical events too, because both Westminster Abbey and Westminster Cathedral have very fine professional choirs. And there was a festival that took place around the time of St. Cecilia, the Feast of St. Cecilia, when the three choirs of St. Paul's Cathedral, Westminster Abbey and Westminster Cathedral would come together, and we would rotate from one church to the other, but the choirs would come together, and it was a really amazing sound when you got the three of them together there. So it was a great privilege to be part of that.
What's the music like? I know that a lot of the hymns we sing in church are Anglican hymns, no?
Quite a few of them are, yes, and that's one of the great riches that we've had since the development of the ecumenical movement, that those are things we can very usefully share, and they sing quite a lot of Catholic music as well. Probably wouldn't have happened so much in the past, but this is something that we can and do share.
Catholic music, which goes back to, for example, Gregorian chant or not?
I was thinking more of Renaissance motets and perhaps Latin motets, which they would certainly sing
during
evensong.
So not going back so far?
Probably not going back so far, at least not very often.
There are a lot of kings and queens there, buried there, but there are also famous literary characters, no?
Yes, there's Poets' Corner, all sorts of distinguished people. George Frederick Handel is buried there, has a great monument, and Henry Purcell. Yes, indeed.
So musicians as well as literary figures. So it's not just Poets' Corner, it should be Musicians' Corner as well, no?
Oh, well, lots of people have their corners. There was a very moving occasion when Cardinal Hume, of course, himself a Benedictine, when he was installed as Archbishop of Westminster, he being a Benedictine, he wanted to go down and have an ecumenical service of evening prayer with, to which a great many monks were invited. And he prayed there, and he spoke of the chapel where Queen Mary Tudor and Queen Elizabeth I are buried side by side, two sisters who were divided in terms of the church. They belonged to the church they represented, and yet there they are buried together. And he hoped and prayed, indeed, that that might be a sign of future reconciliation between the churches. And this was a very important element of his first day as Archbishop of Westminster. He wanted to make that very public statement in the Abbey.
I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.